This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning in to the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. Of course, my name is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, broadcasting to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I am always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, patriarchy, and white supremacy. Now, today I am talking a little bit about racism. Actually, I'm talking a lot about racism because it's just, people just won't shut up about it. It's racism. It's like not even there. And you know what? So what if it is? So what if people have unkind thoughts in their heart? You have unkind thoughts in your heart. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Because if you're a human being, you are subject to some of the frailties of being a human being, like jealousy. Like unkind thoughts. Now, not only do these leftists want to stop you from speaking any unkind thoughts, they don't want any unkind thoughts to be spoken, they literally want to arrest you. They want to arrest people. For hate speech. What's hate speech? Who says? Who is to decide what is hateful? Like if I say that black on black crime is an issue, is that hate speech? Should I be arrested for that? Now, one of the things that really, really bugs me now is that this crap, like college has just become a receptacle for everything that is crappy in this world. Social justice warrior education has permeated so deeply into the fabric of a college education that, like, slam poetry is now a competitive sport where social justice warriors can go compete for who virtue signals the best, for who can regurgitate the garbage they learned in their social sciences class, in their women's studies class, in their lesbian queer theory class, in their transgender racial hatred society class, whatever they want to call the class. It's just a bunch of hogwash. It's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo to get these young kids who went into college with brains on their heads. It's just a way to warp and twist and short-circuit their minds so that they leave much worse off than they were when they went in. They leave brain dead. Now, I used to write a lot of poetry. I write songs. I write poetry. So, to me, the practice of... And you know what? I don't really mind that much slam poetry. I mean, if it's really, really good, it's good. But it's so homogenized. Ideologically speaking, everybody gets up there and slams about the same exact thing. And the only white people that you're going to see up there are basically the token whites up there who are there for the specific sole purpose of immolating themselves by immolating their whiteness. Now, they have an international competition called Brave New Voices. Brave New Voices. I mean, it just sounds social justice warrior-y. Brave New Voices, where young college kids of all races, whose parents sent them to college, get up on stage like a bunch of self-serving, ungrateful little spoiled brats and chastise the society in which they grew. Chastise the society in which they were even able to go to college and learn about the world and learn about things, allegedly to learn about things. If you ask me, they're not really learning about things. Parents are going in, people are going into $100,000 into debt so that kids can be brainwashed. So that they could come out with a chip on their shoulder. Now, this one video that I saw really, really struck me. It struck me because it's dear white parents. Whenever we don't like something, we write a letter saying, dear white parents, dear straight people, dear guy at the coffee shop who accosted me. We have to write a letter. So this one was called Dear White Parents. It's about three mixed race children who basically castigate their own parents, their white parents. They don't castigate their brown parents. They castigate their white parents. in front of the world for the world to see these parents who sent them to college.
To white parents with brown babies, we know you are trying.
Raising children in your image gets complicated.
When they turn out to be what your people have been destroying for centuries.
When your lineage is not recognized as your own.
It must be a challenge to watch your skin boil to molasses,
never being sweet enough for afternoon tea.
Baked into secrecy, hiding, hoping I will pass for my grandparents' family.
My mama says my skin looks like brown sugar. It is her favorite compliment. I know she is aware of the syrup that makes me, the sticky she cannot part from.
Maybe she knows I will never be as pure as the blood she gave me.
Mama, I do not know how to tell you we are living two separate experiences, though our faces are similar.
It is your skin everyone listens to.
To white parents with brown babies. Know your child will become accustomed to darkness first. Do not teach them to be afraid of it.
Teach your children mugshots.
Teach your children their lives matter.
Never let them know what it means to have volcanic rubble for a larynx.
Do you know what it's like to speak with spilled urns in your throat? I am made into novelty while preserving oral tradition.
Pronouncing words you cannot.
The man I call my father likes to tell me he doesn't think about race as he stands in the place of the black man who came in my mother and left. When he lets my daughter's black slip through his canines, I wonder if he knows what that means.
If white parents think their brown children benefit from the same luxuries that they do,
is this why he tells me not to say nigga?
Like my agency is not defined by my people, but the ones I live with.
My parents' voices will never sing love songs. My mother was just one more white girl trapped in jigaboo temptation. My father mesmerized by her milk and honey. They made love under a force of curiosity turned fascination into a family.
I am systematically ripping away everything that is taboo and reflective of my oppressor's tactics.
How do I unlearn something that was never meant to be digested?
Is there a self-help book on decolonizing these parts of me?
To white parents with brown babies.
Giving them a tape of slave spirituals paired with a picture book of smiling Negroes, happy to be working in the sun with all of their colored friends,
isn't enough.
Do not forget your history erased parts of theirs. Do not hide this from your children. Know there are things you are allowed to be wrong about.
To my white mother, you once told me that you wanted to send me to Haiti so I could be with my people. You, of all people, should know I'm not Haitian.
My whole childhood was a microaggression.
You scream for white recognition. Mama, you boast you are MLK descendant for having sex with my father's character and not the color of his skin.
Your dictionary definition of racism was written by white men so they too could know suffering.
As if saying the word cracker would form a lynch mob.
As if you didn't swaddle your babies in white hoods.
My oppression is your accessory.
Mama, you only know discrimination vicariously.
Raising brown babies is not affirmative action.
Stereotyping you doesn't get you killed.
I am rewriting the history you gave me.
Be grateful I love you enough to educate you.
Your ultimate privilege.
So I guess we should be thanking you for the privilege of being told how terrible we are. Gee, thanks.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Beth Cook Moranville, author of Closer Than Your Breath, A Book of Hope.
Hope, that wonderful, wonderful four-letter word that you may feel completely out of. I wrote this book to give you great hope. It's not too late. If fetal position is an all too familiar place for you, I understand. If the next 60 seconds are too long, this book is for you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're dealing with divorce or death or sickness, take hope. You are going to make it through this pain. Don't roll your eyes. I've walked this road, and I know it. The best is yet to come.
Closer Than Your Breath, a book of hope from author and speaker Beth Cook Moranville, can be found on Amazon.com or Kindle.com. For more information, visit CloserThanYourBreath.com or on Facebook at Closer Than Your Breath.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Jackson Radio Show.
Salutations. You are tuning into the disgruntled millennial portion of the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. My name is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. You can call me Mr. the disgruntled millennial today. I always broadcast to you live from my safe space down here in Northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. I've been talking a little bit about slam poetry. It's, real literature is a dying art form. People who can actually speak in full and complete sentences, it's a dying art form. And it's being replaced by this body heavy, broken up slam poetry. You ever notice how all slam poets are leftists? How they're all just a bunch of social justice warriors? You would not see a conservative slam poet. First of all, they'd be booed out of the room. They would be booed out of the room by all the leftists in the room. How's that for diversity and tolerance for you? Someone comes in with a different idea than you, who doesn't toe the line of social justice warrior jargon? And it doesn't just have to do with race. It has to do with every single social justice issue that you can possibly think of. Gayness, transness, Muslims, everything. Sexism. If you're a man, you have to degrade your own manliness. If you're straight, you have to degrade your own straightness. If you're white, you have to degrade your own whiteness. To me, that's absolutely disgusting. Why are some people allowed to be proud of who they are? Black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Why are some people allowed to be proud of who they are, racially speaking? I don't feel any pride about my skin color. Just letting y'all know. I don't feel any pride about the fact that I'm white. I don't think anybody should feel pride about the color of their skin. It's not something that you can control. Pride is something that you should feel because of your achievements. Things that you've done. People that you've helped. Lives that you've saved. And not one race has a monopoly on being a good person. But the social justice warriors think so. And if you fit the bill, then you have to immolate yourself. You have to bow down and kneel before the altar. You have to kiss the ring. You have to kiss the SJW ring. Listen to this guy immolating his own manliness. Basically saying that all men are terrible.
I am a man. Please do not expect too much of me, for in the morning there will only be disappointment in its place. I am a man. I collect heartbeats and heavy breath like dollar bills while tossing I love you like loose change and receipt paper. I don't need that. You see, I am a man. I refer to you as a girl from the bar with the tongue ring, because I will not be able to recall your name, your body. On the other hand, I will remember perfectly, like I am the god who forged it. Your face is simply a memento safety pin to a space on my calendar. Your taste will be on my teeth until dinner time the following day. I am a man.
I'm going to stop it right there. Listen to all these people in the background going, oh yeah, you tell him, boy. You tell him. You preach it, brother. Preach it.
Torturer. Noosing women from the snare of my lips while my tongue acts as a whip, lashing my desires across her whiplash curves. There I call it slavery. There I call it love. There I try to say that I'm not like all the others, because the history of women tries to tell them to rely on the words of a man. But I'm a split-tongued, two-faced master of language. I am the cause with no regards for the effect. I am a murderer. A murderer with clean hands, but don't get me wrong, I don't mind getting down and dirty. My body count seems to hold more importance than my GPA in my room. You will find souvenirs and picture IDs in the drawer in the closet. There's dirty laundry that does not belong to me under my bed. You'll find bloody sheets, a camera, memories to match, but no bodies to be found, because they still walk the earth today. You see, they sit in classrooms, cry in bathrooms with my aftermath on their sleeves. The only thing they hate more than me is themselves. The only thing I love more than myself is the power that they are giving me. So serial killer, tell me how many there's been so far. Tell me why you thought it was okay to speak to her with tear gas on your breath and words drenched in gasoline. Tell me, did she like it when you loved her with clenched fists instead of open arms? Tell me, did you like it when you loved her with clenched fists instead of open arms? Tell me who declared you God. Who gave you the right to walk around wearing other people's happiness like dog tags? Tell me who declared you God, because you are nothing more than human. Nothing more than a mere man with faulty faith in an outdated value system. So don't you dare walk around all high and mighty like we could dig for gold in your chest, like she was born to be at your feet. Don't you dare speak to her like target practice. Don't you dare love her like you know you shouldn't. Love her with no brakes, no airbags, just faith. Treat her like she is the last person on earth that you will ever meet. Speak to her like words are currency. You see, you are no man. See, men should not break more than they do build. See, men should not fight more than they do cry. You see, you, my friend, you are no man. And if you ever try to convince me that you are, I'd much rather be a fool.
Wow, so profound. Oh my God. You preach it, brother. Preach it. Preach it. You know what? A lot of that stuff, I mean, of course, he's talking about the rape culture. He's talking about the toxic masculinity out there. He's talking about all the women out there. You know, the girl who walked around with her mattress, the mattress girl. walked around protesting a rape culture that doesn't even really exist. I think rapists should be put in prison and castrated or put to death. I believe that they should get the highest punishment that the highest punishment that you can give, like equal to murder. Rape is an awful, awful thing. But this man just says that all men are rapists because of their manliness, because of their masculinity. Masculinity makes you a rapist. You see how the left messes with the language? They take perfectly decent goals, like a world without rape. And then they pin the tail on every single man that in existence, claiming that every single man just embodies a rapist. I am a man. Aren't you talking about yourself, mister? I mean, how can you go up there and talk about I am a man without implicating yourself, without implicating your own masculinity? Oh, because you can virtue signal, that exempts you from your own attacks.
Words with venom, words that bind, words used like weapons to cloud my mind. I'm a person, I'm a man, but no matter how hard I try, people just say, hey, there goes that nigger guy. Everywhere I go, it's always the same. I can't get away from that terrible name. Hey, nigger guy, nigger guy, nigger guy, stop! Now go. Call me nigger guy. Fill me with your hate. Try to bring me down. Oop, up, you're too late. Someone just beat you to it. But my dream will not die. To be thought of as more than just nigger guy.
South Park really hits the nail on the head pretty often. Those guys are really, really prophetic. They go around and nothing is sacred to them. They will make fun of literally anyone. And if you can, if you notice the formula in these slam poetry, if you notice the formula, it really becomes such a, like a low form of art. You really start to see it for the low form of art that it actually is. I'm Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. This is Kevin Jackson Radio. We will be right back. Get me at Shaq General.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're an unincorporated business owner, it's too late for you. That is, if you've already been sued and lost your home, your car, and your personal life savings. But if you haven't been sued yet, there is still time to incorporate and protect your personal assets. And the first step is just a phone call away. Because Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation toolkit to all business owners, including exclusive information on how to start and grow your business. For your free incorporation toolkit, call now 1-800-936-9256. Incorporation is the shield that protects your personal assets. Without it, you could lose everything. That's why at Incorporate.com, they just make incorporating or forming an LLC quick and easy. They don't provide legal or financial advice. If someone sues tomorrow, will you lose everything? Don't wait until it's too late. Call now for your free incorporation toolkit. Hurry, they're still giving them away for free at 1-800-936-9256. Call 1-800-936-9256. That's 1-800-936-9256.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
This week's top story. If you see a Nazi, punch a Nazi. The internet has been abuzz the past few weeks about this video of famed white supremacist douchebag Richard Spencer getting punched and then proceeding to cry like a baby-ass wimp boy while being interviewed about his idiotic cartoon frog pit. While many cheered and many more remixed the video to hits from yesterday and today, some people took it upon themselves to write think piece after think piece about the ethics of Nazi punching. Look, I know that an intellectual's hierarchy of needs peaks at moral superiority, but give it a rest. Punching a Nazi is the ethical choice, because people only become Nazis when they didn't get that urge punched out of them in childhood. I know it's fun to do the mental gymnastics of deciding whether or not Plato or Socrates or Jaden Smith or whoever else in your Philosophy 101 text would agree with your logical conclusion that punching Nazis is bad because violence is not the answer, but no one cares. You are under no obligation to hear a Nazi out. But Akilah, what if they aren't actually Nazis? Anyone who thinks Hitler had mostly good ideas and argues that there was any silver lining to the tragic, unimaginable horrors done unto Jews during the Holocaust can catch these hands. Half the reason the Holocaust went unchecked for as long as it did was because of this lamentable desire for social loafing, where they'd rather be polite or peaceful to monsters instead of shutting them down forcefully. It's not like every person in Germany in the early 1940s was a Nazi. It's just that the good people decided it wasn't worth the trouble to fight back against the fascist, racist, anti-Semitism as it gained traction in their country. Well, guess what? It's not 1940 anymore. We won't sit back quietly while you Heil Hitler with your pathetic Nazi youth haircut. And be warned that if you are feeling froggy enough to spout this hate in public, you better be ready to jump.
You see, so you don't really have to listen to a Nazi. So how do you know if you're dealing with a Nazi, if you're not willing to listen to the person? This is what they say about Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer, he's a Nazi. He's a white supremacist. And people just take that for granted. People take that for granted, just like they take for granted anybody who commits a microaggression onto somebody. If I say, oh, nice hair, to a black person, oh, well, that's a microaggression. If I hold the door open for a woman, that's a sexist microaggression. You see what they do? They fudge the definition of the word racism. They fudge the definition of the word, of the phrase white supremacy. And then claim that if they can label that on you, then they can punch you. Then they can enact violence on you. But they don't have to listen to you. So I'm going to do something a little bit unusual today. I'm going to give the floor to Richard Spencer. Yep, that's right. I'm going to give the floor to Richard Spencer. I must be a white supremacist because I'm going to hear the guy out. He did an interview with a wonderful, brand-new rising star talent named Roaming Millennial. She is just crushing it these days. I just love that girl. She's awesome. Roaming, if you want to come on my show, you are welcome to come on my show anytime. And I'm going to give the floor to Roaming Millennial and to Richard Spencer so we can actually hear the terrible, awful, nasty things that made UF, that made the University of Florida in Gainesville have to spend $600,000 and funnel police forces, funnel money and resources from all the adjacent towns just so that this guy could come and speak, just so that this guy could be heckled for an hour and a half. Do I agree with everything the guy says? No. But you know what? I have listened to some of the stuff that the guy says, and he is by far farthest thing from a Nazi. Farthest thing from a Cyclone B, you know, like the Zeke Heil and all that. Farthest thing from that. And this is one of the saddest parts about what the left is doing. They are diluting the meaning of words. They're cheapening the meaning of words. Terrible things like Nazism. Terrible things like racism. Terrible things like sexism. If they can just pin you with that label for literally nothing, for literally something that might not even know that you're doing. And then they can justify violence against you? As a Jew, pinning the label of Nazi on someone is especially offensive to me if it's not actually true. Pinning that label on someone cheapens the deaths of the Jews. It cheapens all of the deaths under Nazism. It cheapens the murders. The brutal, cold-blooded murders. Now, ironically, that's what these leftists think should be done to people who they say are white supremacists or Nazis. And you really know they're screwed up when they're going around calling Ben Shapiro a white supremacist and a Nazi. Just like I said, completely cheapens the meaning of the word. All right, let's turn it over to Roaming Millennial and Richard Spencer, the evil white supremacists.
You've been categorized as, quite frankly, a white supremacist by a lot of people. I remember even looking up your Wikipedia page, the first thing it describes you as is, Richard Spencer is an American white supremacist. And I think a couple sentences later, it actually mentioned he denies being a white supremacist, which I thought was funny how they still insisted on labeling you that way, even though you deny it. So how would you respond to those kinds of claims that you do think the white race is superior?
Well, first off, when I hear the idea of white supremacists, that does seem like one wants to be supreme over other races, and that I want to bring back slavery or something, and that's probably the opposite of what I want to do. In terms of this question of superiority, it really is a question of in what. My Washington Summit Publishers, which is a publishing group that's connected to MPI, connected to everything that I do. We published numerous books on IQ differences, and whites do not have the highest on average IQ. East Asians have a higher average IQ, although even there it's a little bit, there's some nuances in the sense that East Asians will very often excel at spatial IQ or mathematical IQ and not excel that as much in verbal IQ. Ashkenazi Jews are actually the reverse. West Africans are absolutely superior when it comes to short-range sprinting. Every 100-meter dash finals will be not just Africans, but West Africans. That being said, there are many athletic competitions that whites dominate, maybe for cultural reasons to an extent, like downhill skiing or something. But actually, they're just ways that we are superior, as expressed as sports. So, race is not just this one thing where it's like, coming in first prize, the white race, coming in second. It's not like that. This is the whole idea of evolution. Is that a gene pool is plastic to the environment. So that the white race or the African race or Mongoloid, which is a large, race group, that they became who they are now due to their experience due to the climate, due to their encountering the environment, and so on, and due to some kind of arbitrary factors like genetic drift, which means that races will develop even if the environments are absolutely identical. So, you know, we are plastic to an environment. My ancestors, we were molded by the Ice Age. We were molded by our interbreeding with Neanderthal. We were molded by our experience in a northern European continent. And that's who we are. So that's what races is. It's a huge variation. It's not just one thing. There's no race that's superior to any other. But once you start thinking genetically or thinking racially, you enter this whole new world where you can understand something like sport. You can understand something like culture. The fact that African-American music is highly rhythmic and actually often lacks melody with something like rap. Or has a kind of a fuzzy melody, if anything, but it's a rhythmic art form, and there are just certain musical styles that are going to resonate us racially, and that has to do with our history. It's not just like we came up with this culture arbitrarily; it's part of us. You know, the way I would think about it is, race is like a body of water, a great lake. That's race. That's your genetic, and it's been molded by the environment. It's been molded by the bottom of the lake, and we see all this mist coming up, like the, and that's culture or law or politics or society and so on. But sometimes we think this mist has a being when it's only mist. It's really the lake that defines it. So that's how I see things. Culture is a product of race.
Wow, what a raving lunatic! I heard him say that he wants to kill Jews and to kill blacks. I heard him say it. Didn't you hear him say it? Remember, this is the guy that got punched in the face, that got sucker punched right in the face. Because the guy wants to have a conversation about culture and IQ? IQ makes a difference, you know. I don't really care what race you are, as long as you have a nice, reasonably high IQ, then we can be friends, then we can relate to each other. Now, I really need to give a special hat tip to Roaming Millennial because, you know, she's got balls. She's got big balls. Doing an interview with Richard Spencer in a climate where people are saying, always punch a Nazi? Always punch a Nazi? And you can just go around calling anyone a Nazi? Which basically means you can go around and punch anyone. And Roaming Millennial is putting her person at risk by going out there and doing an interview with a person, by letting the man speak into a microphone. Sick. It's disgusting. This is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial, Kevin Jackson Radio. We will be right back. You can get me at Shaq General.
Kevin Jackson
on the Black Sphere Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or state? The secret to avoiding the IRS nightmare is to seek professional representation. My friends at Security Tax Associates provide the most cost-effective and ethical representation in the industry while helping to avoid seizures, levies, and wage garnishments. Security Tax Associates is here to ensure that the appropriate steps are taken to permanently eliminate any possibility of future tax burdens once and for all. For a free, no-obligation consultation, contact Security Tax Associates, 844-779-4177. That's 844-779-4177. 844-779-4177. Or visit them at securitytaxassociates.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20.
Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
In an emergency, you need a fire now. But what if the wood is wet? No problem for InstaFire. Our non-toxic fire starter packs lights wet wood, floats, and can even burn on water or in any weather. Sustains winds up to 30 miles per hour, and each pouch weighs only 1.75 ounces. Need an emergency or camp stove? Get the InstaFire Inferno stove that boils 20 ounces of water in under 3 minutes with controllable heat and temps from 425 to 1500 degrees. Free shipping. Go to InstaFire.com and use discount code Radio30 after 3 times for 30% off your order. InstaFire. Fire in an instant.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Putting an end
in to Identity Politics.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Greetings and salutations. You are tuning into the disgruntled millennial portion of the Kevin Jackson Radio Show. My name is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. You can call me Mr. The Disgruntled Millennial. I always broadcast to you live from my safe space down here in northern Florida, where I'm always free from your bigotry, racism, hatred, microaggressions, and patriarchy. But we are not free from Richard Spencer today, because we are going to listen to a little bit more audio from Roaming Millennial. We heard a lot of audio today. We heard a lot of audio from people who said that we should just be able to punch Nazis. Now, the counterpart would be, oh, we should just be able to punch minorities, right? We should just be able to punch SJWs. We should be able to punch Antifa. We should be able to punch anyone we want. We should be able to punch anyone that we don't disagree with. Now, you would think that with all this hatred and rage towards white people, this hatred and rage towards American society, towards Western civilization, would be channeled in another way. After all, it's the white people who are the violent ones. Oh, but if we have to meet the violence of whiteness with more violence, well, then that's okay. We can just go around punching people. Now, we heard audio from Cynthia G, this YouTuber who is just so full of hatred and rage towards white people, calls them caca devils. Devils. Does Richard Spencer go around calling black people N-words and devils and all this stuff? Is this rage against white people justified by some sort of, you know, is Richard Spencer calling for genocide? Why is it okay for Black Lives Matter to demand 5 states where black people can go and white people are not welcome? Segregation. Why is it okay for them but not okay for Richard Spencer? That's what I'd like to know. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? Why is it okay for SJWs to go around punching Nazis if you can just label anyone a Nazi, but it's not okay for a Nazi to punch back? If a Nazi punches back, he's just proving he's a Nazi. He's just proving that he deserved to get punched. I hate racism in all its forms, but what I hate even more than that is hypocrisy. Because racism is something that takes place in your heart. Being a racist doesn't necessarily mean you're a violent person. But this hypocrisy is projected onto all of us, and it's getting more and more violent. Now, Richard Spencer explicitly says in this next clip that he thinks that all races should have the right to self-determination and to be preserved. I am sure that social justice warriors would be just fine if all white people were gone. Just the concept of whiteness. They want the entire idea of whiteness to go away. Not just white people, the idea of white people. All right, let's hear a little bit more from Roaming Millennial and the raving lunatic. The Nazi raving lunatic, Richard Spencer. Remember, this is the person who lefties don't even want to hear out before they punch him.
Would that be the reason why you're in favor of the segregation, the fact that racial differences lead to cultural differences? You know, because I think a lot of people, when they hear something like what you're advocating for, they might say, well, if you're not a white supremacist and you don't think these other races are inferior, why would you not want to live with them? Because, I mean, just for me personally, there are many groups I would not want to live next to. And quite frankly, it is because I don't like them. I mean, I don't want to live next to radical Islamists. I don't want to live right next to people who play EDM at 2 a.m. in the morning, stuff like that. So I guess for you, would it be because of the link between race and culture?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that maybe electronic dance music aside, yes, that this is the foundation of those cultural differences or religious differences that we recognize. There are two elements to this. I think there's a conservative element and there's an idealistic element. So I do think that races deserve to be conserved. And this was actually a lot of American racialist thought, like Madison Grant or Lothrop Stoddard, they were conservationists in that sense. And they were actually environmental conservationists, but they're also racial conservationists. So they wanted to save the spotted owl, but they also wanted to save Nordic America. And I think there is something to that. I do want to live in a planet where there are Africans, and I want to live in a planet where there are American Indians. I think that they have a culture that I don't want to see lost. And I think a lot of white people are like that, where we have a certain respect for, say, the American Indian, that even though we won, even though we dominated those people, that we don't hate them, and we think that they're worthy of being conserved. I think that is absolutely true. But I also have a you could say a kind of idealistic or Faustian notion to this, in the sense that we've been attempting very avidly to overcome race for decades now, certainly since the Second World War, but it actually goes back further. We've been attempting to reform schools, to integrate neighborhoods, to regularize educational and employment outcomes. We've worried about the self-esteem of African Americans or Muslims. We've worried about whether immigrants are going to be fully integrated into our culture. We've spent trillions upon trillions of dollars in terms of policy attempting these perhaps noble ends. We've spent trillions and trillions of dollars effectively running away from diversity. Whites have something that I think is actually a terrible waste of money. We have abandoned so many of our great cities and built new ones in the suburbs, new ones that are kind of hollow and don't have that character and history that the old ones have. So we've spent trillions on this project. Imagine if we had channeled that money and terraformed Mars, or explored the rings of Saturn, or created a magnetic levitation train system that would allow us to travel from Washington, D.C. to Seattle in 3.5 hours. I mean, and this sounds like sci-fi. Ooh, that's so crazy. You've watched Stanley Kubrick too much or whatever. No, I haven't. All of those things are all of those things are absolutely possible. And they're possible if we will them. And so I feel like we need a paradigmatic change where we start channeling our energies, channeling our money to these truly great projects, and that we give up this siren song of racial equality and integration.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I hear from that. I don't even hear a strong support for segregation. I don't hear him saying we need to segregate. What I hear him saying is we need to not shove it down people's throats by force. That we need to not redistribute wealth for the purpose of making other people feel good. We need to let it happen naturally. We need to let it happen more organically. What I definitely don't hear him saying is kill the blacks. Kill the Indians. Kill the Muslims. Kill everyone except for Whitey. Do you hear him saying that? I don't hear him saying that. What I do hear is this Aquila lady who we just heard a little while ago saying, always punch a Nazi. It's an ethical thing to do. This is the same lady who says that there should be less white people in the world. That is called genocide. You know, for all the talk about fairness and diversity and equality, it's a real wonder to me why more people don't call out these social justice warriors for the genocidal maniacs that they are. They want less white people. How do you plan to achieve that, SJWs? You think we're just supposed to kill ourselves? You think we're just supposed to commit mass suicide? Is that what you want? I bet you a lot of you do. Richard Spencer doesn't want you to commit mass suicide. And you call him the Nazi. Now, on a completely different subject, most SJWs categorically hate the state of Israel. They can't stand the idea that Jews have a right to self-determination in the Middle East. Who is the Nazi again? From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. All those weird chants that basically say kill all the Jews. Who is the real Nazi? I'm going to blow your mind right now. I like Richard Spencer. From what I've seen, from what I've heard, from the things that I've heard him say, I like the guy. I don't mind him so much. I disagree with some of his fundamental premises. I think it has a hell of a lot to do more with culture than with race. But he's a guy I would want to sit down and talk to and have a fiery debate with. Because you know what? I know that he's not out there advocating for genocide. I know that he's not out there advocating for gas chambers for Jews. He's not out there advocating to put black people back in chains. He doesn't even say that he's not even claiming that white people are like the superior race. White supremacist. Again, leftist language is so disgusting. They cheapen the meaning of the word. They cheapen the meanings of the words that they use. I would like to have lunch with Richard Spencer one day. I would like to pick his brain. I'd like to understand where the guy is coming from because I'm interested in dialogue. These people who talk about diversity just make me sick to my stomach because they don't really care about diversity. This is Brett Siegel, the disgruntled millennial. This is Kevin Jackson Radio. We will be right back. Get me at Shaq General.
He won't stop until he's the top-rated radio talk show host in America.
What kind of weird competitive freak are you?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.